With the barbecue, Mati had asked that we do a 10-minute halacha shir on the issue of learning quietly in your mind, out loud, you know, what the different levels of Talmud Torah are in terms of the how audible one's learning is. And I believe that there are several levels over here to discuss. Of course, there is hirhur b'divrei Torah, just the fact that you're thinking and learning, and whether that's a key mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And then you have beyond just hirhur, I think there's another level of reading from a sefer, but not being audible, or perhaps even listening to a shir without being audible, which seems to be a little bit more than hirhur, but not much more. And then, of course, there is dibur b'divrei Torah, there's actually speaking divrei Torah, audibly speaking divrei Torah. And then I think there might even be another level to discuss, and that is zemer of Torah, to learn Torah with a tune, with a song, in some sort of sing-song way. So let's try to discuss each level of Talmud Torah and what the halachic implications of them are. So we'll start with hirhur b'divrei Torah. There's a sugya Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf where the Mishnah says that a balkeri is maharer b'libo. Not talking about Talmud Torah, talking about Kriya Shema. That a balkeri is maharer Kriya Shema b'libo because he's unable to say the words of Kriya Shema. He's tame, he's a balkeri. But there's machlokus in the Gemara of what value is the hirhur b'libo. What's he accomplishing by being maharer the Kriya Shema? The Gemara tells us some meravinos, those some meres. Hirur kedibur dami. What he's accomplishing is he's being the kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Hirur is kedibur. It's as if he's saying Kriya Shema. Oh, well, then why doesn't he just say it? Because he needs tevila to actually say the words of Torah. Because even though hirur is kedibur, you always have the chakira is the equivalent of or similar to. Over here, it's similar to. You know, dibur is still different, and balkari cannot do dibur, but he can do hirur, and that is a kiyum mitzvah. However, of chistamar hirur lav kedibur dami, that hirur is not kedibur, and the truth is, when the balkari is maharir kriyashma, he is not being mekayim a mitzvah of kriyashma at all. Why then do we advise him to be maharir kriyashma? Let him just not do anything. What do we care what he's thinking? Shaloyu kala olam oskin bavuhu yoshev batal. Because if everybody else is saying kriyashma, it's inappropriate that he should be yoshev batal, that he should have no shaychus whatsoever to the kriyashma. So he can't say the kriyashma because he's balkari, he can't be mekayim Kriya Shema, but at least he should have some connection to Kriya Shema, and that's why we suggest that he does so be hirhur. So you have this fundamental machlokas, hirhur kedibur dami or hirhur lav kedibur dami. The Gemara works very hard to defend the shita of Rav Chista, the second shita, and that's why most Rishonim assume la halacha that hirhur lav kedibur dami, that thinking alone is not the same as speaking. There's also sugi in Shabbos Taf Kuf Nun, where the Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to have dibur shel chol on Shabbos. The way you speak during the week, on Shabbos should not be the same that you speak during the week. You shouldn't speak about business matters and things like that. Of course, based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Ches, mim tzochef tzochav v'daber davar, that your dibur shel Shabbos should not be like your dibur shel chol. But the Gemara says, hirhur is mutter. If you want to think about divrei chol on Shabbos, hirhur is mutter. And the Gemara relates this to the iser of thinking and learning in the bathroom, that you're not supposed to be thinking in Torah when one is in a beis hakisei, and that's based on the gzeres hakosav that highlights the bizayin haTorah that's involved in thinking in Torah and beis hakisei. But it seems that fundamentally, hirur lav kidibur dami, meaning you're not allowed to speak certain things on Shabbos, but you're allowed to be mahar of them, because being mahar is not the same as speaking. What about the Beis HaKisei? Why are you not even allowed to be maharer in the Beis HaKisei? If here is not the same as speaking, shouldn't you be allowed to? That's a separate din, that's a separate special Bizayin HaTorah, that you're not allowed to do that in the Beis HaKisei. Now let's go to Talmud Torah. What's the status of hirhur when it comes to Talmud Torah? Shulchan Aruch and Siman Mem Zayin Siv Dalet, Paskins, HaMaharer B'Divrei Torah, Ein tzarich levarich. If a person is being mahar divrei Torah, he does not have to recite Birchas HaTorah before being mahar divrei Torah, implying that there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah by only being mahar her, which would fit very nicely. Hirhur lav kedibur dami. The mitzvah is to speak Torah. He is not speaking Torah, and therefore he's not being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Bir Hagra on the spot is in strong disagreement with the Shulchan Aruch. The Bir Hagra writes, Dekan mevarich al ha-mitzvah. Over here, the bracha is not on words, the bracha is on the mitzvah. V'chilek a mitzvah b'hirur? Is there no mitzvah in your hearer? V'alo nemar, v'gisabo. What does v'gisabo mean? V'gisabo means thought. It doesn't mean words. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Rotzeh Lomar says the Gra, belave. It's supposed to be belave. That's what it means. So the Gra in strong disagreement with the Shulchan Aruch. So it begs the question, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch think there's a bracha? Does he not think that there's any mitzvah of Talmud Torah in here? So the Mechaber probably agrees, all the Achronim explain, he probably agrees that it is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but not every time one is mekayim a mitzvah does one recite a bracha. Maybe, yes, it's a kiyum mitzvah, but in order to recite a bracha is always on a maisa mitzvah. The bracha is always associated with a maisa rather than with a kiyum. Rav Shakta points out in Eretz HaTzvi, one of the great rayas, that a bracha is associated with a maisa rather than with a kiyum. There's machlokas rishonim. How many mitzvahs is Sfiras HaOmer? 49 separate mitzvahs or one big mitzvah? Well, shouldn't it be obvious that it's 49 separate mitzvahs because there are 49 separate brachos, checkmate, end of story, right? So it's obviously 49 separate mitzvahs. And how could there even be room for a shita that it's one mitzvah? No, elamai, it's one mitzvah, but there are 49 separate maaseh mitzvah. A bracha is on a maaseh mitzvah. A bracha is not on a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Say Nechinami, one of mekayim ha-mitzvah, behirhur of Divrei Torah, but he's not doing a recognizable maisa mitzvah, and that's why there's no bracha. For example, a person goes into a sukkah, on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, is he being mekayim ha-mitzvah? Absolutely yes. Does he recite a bracha? It depends. Only if he's going to sit down and eat something does it require a bracha, because it has to be a maisa mesuyam, a very clear, recognizable maisa, in order to be mekayev a bracha. And that helps explain a whole bunch of things. It answers the Taz's question. Taz asks about kosev b'divrei Torah, one who writes divrei Torah. Taz wonders why it is that the Shulchan Aruch himself paskins hakosev b'divrei Torah aval b'sheino kore, even though you're not saying anything. Sarich levarich. Same Shulchan Aruch said that mahar b'divrei Torah is no bracha. Kosev b'divrei Torah, yes bracha. Taz says, I don't get it. What's the difference? Well, the difference is very easily understood now. If you're mahar b'divrei Torah, yes, you're being mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but you're not doing a maisa. Kosev k'siva is very clearly a maisa. It also explains the Ran in Avodah Zarah daf mem dalar mbeis. Ran says you don't have to say a bracha before paskening a shayla, as long as you don't explain the logic of your psak. If you can explain the logic of your psak, then you have to say a birch satorah. But otherwise, you wouldn't have to say a birch satorah before paskening a shayla. In order to pasken a shayla, you have to think about the sugya a little bit. Yeah, but that's not a maisa of Talmud Torah. It's not a clear, obvious maisa of Talmud Torah that you're doing. You're just telling someone, don't do that, or yes, do that. So that would not require a birchas haTorah. And this would also relate to l'chora dinei Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Lamed tells us they are not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av because pekudei Hashem Yisharim mesam chilev, one of my favorite halachos, right? That you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av because look what it says about Torah. That's going to be what brings you the most joy, so we have to stay away from joy. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch in Tav Kufn and Dalit Siv Gimel paskins not even to be maharer divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av, that a person should stay away from hirhurei divrei Torah. The Mechaber doesn't argue on the Gra over there. The Mechaber doesn't say, don't worry about here is nothing. You're not allowed to be maharer either. So apparently it's because that is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. Now one could argue that it has nothing to do with a kiyum of Talmud Torah, because on Tisha B'Av the Yisr is not an Yisr to be mekayim Talmud Torah. Adrava, it could be that you still have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because you still learn Dvarim Harayim. I think on YU Torah, the people that keep the stats say that it's the most popular day on YU Torah. Tisha B'Av, they get more hits on the website than they do any other day of the year. Okay, but that's not a Raya LaHalacha. But it could be that there is a mitzvah. Certainly, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you're learning Iyov, when you're learning Dvarim Harayim. So it could be that the whole din of Tisha B'Av is separate. What about Hirhur Bebeis Hakisei? The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis says that a person can't be Maharet Torah Bebeis Hakisei, but if he's an Ones, it's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pehe Sif Beis says afilu laharer b'divrei Torah aser b'sakise b'semerchatz u'makat nofes u'makum sheish b'tzoh meraglayim. That if it's a dirty place, a very dirty place, you're not allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah. Mishabura, however, quotes from the Beis Yosef that misha talmudo shagur b'piv if he hear b'sakise b'semerchatz lo'onso mutter. The person just can't stop thinking and learning. He's an onus. He can't think about anything something else, then it's mutter to be maharer b'divrei Torah b'beis hakisei. Yeshomrim kivan da onus hu birhuro yachla afil levate b'sfasav. And then he says, and sounds from the Gemara in Zvachim daf kuf beis, that you could even speak in Torah in the beis hakisei if you're an onus. But the Birkei Yosef says, no. Speaking for sure is aser, and the raya from the Gemara is not really such a raya. You can learn the Gemara differently. And there's no such thing as an onus. You have no choice but to speak with the right Torah. No such thing. There's no such onus. The onus is that you can't stop thinking about it. So you could think in the right Torah in the bathroom. I had a shayla last week. Since we have time today, we can go a little long. I had a shayla last week. Someone told me that they were. They went to an office building late at night to pick something up from their office, and no one was in the building. And they put they were in the building alone, and they had to go to the bathroom. So they went to the bathroom, and they didn't realize that the door lock was broken on the bathroom. So he closed the bathroom door and he got locked into the bathroom, and no one was in the building, and his cell phone was in his backpack, which was in the office. So now he's stuck in the bathroom, no one in the building. 3-4 hours later, the janitor came to clean up the bathroom and he got out. So he wanted to know, he was kind of thirsty, he wanted to know, could he drink the water from the sink? And if he does he say a bracha? And is he allowed to be mahar b'divrei Torah? Because he had nothing. I mean, there's only so many times you can read the scroll on the on the stalls. But what do you do? Is that called an onus? Even like, you know, of course everyone knows, right, one masechta by heart, so that you could do when you're walking. The gedolim recommend. So he wanted to know if he can say his masechta or learn his masechta when he's in the bathroom. So that's this halacha. If you're an onus. You're an onus. You're allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah. Okay, but that's as far as hiru b'divrei Torah. So it seems that the mainstream shita is that hiru b'divrei Torah is a kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Certainly, the Gra believes that very, very strongly, and the Shulchan Aruch might agree to that as well. But it is, it's just not a maisa that one would recite. Birchas HaTorah on. Is there a maila, once we accept that it is a key of mitzvah Talmud Torah, is there any maila to learn out loud? Is there any maila to actually be speaking and learning? The Maral in the Siv HaTorah, Perek Dalet, makes a big push for learning out loud. He quotes several sources, but even without the sources, he says Ein roi shiyev machshava bulvad rak bedibur v'zem mipnei ki adam hu chai medaber. A person is a medaber. We remember we discussed the Kuzari, the different levels of creation. That a medaber is what separates a human being from an animal. Is that we are a medaber d'chsivayia adam l'nefesh chaya. And the unklus is metargeim that ruach memalula, that we have the ability to speak. And it says about Torah ki chayecha va'orech yamecha, when you find to where kasher motzi Torah b'dibor shu chiyus adam vas hadibor shu achayim shel adam davak b'torah, meaning what makes a person alive, what makes a person is his dibor, and Torah is life. So when you connect that which makes you human to that which makes you live, that's a very high madrega, and that's why a person is supposed to dafka speak and learning. He's supposed to learn Torah out loud. In addition to that, Torah becomes alive when you learn Torah, meaning it's a higher level of Talmud Torah. It's ma'orer your kavana and your focus. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Gimel and Beis, going over to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, tells us another interesting maisa with Bruria. We were discussing yesterday a little bit about Bruria Ashchei Lahu Talmida Davakagaris Bilchisha. Bruria ran into a certain Talmud who was learning quietly, but Shabesh, so she kicked him. Amrulei Lokach Kosev Arucha Bechalu Shmura Im Arucha Beramachi Varim Shalucha Mishtameres Veim Lo Ein Mishtameres. If the Torah is going through all of your Ramachi Varim, then the Torah will stick. Otherwise, the Torah is not going to stick. It's got to take over your entire body. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, same sugya. Amrulei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Psach Pumeich Kuri Psach Pumeich Tani. Open your mouth and learn Mikra. Open your mouth and learn Mishnah. That when is Torah going to be mekuyim in you? When you're motzi it bepeh. The Peleyoetz writes, the sounds of Torah studied out loud pierces the Shemayim. It brings simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Magen Meisharim, the Malach tells the Magid, tells the Beis Yosef that the sounds of Torah learning when it's audible creates malachim and it helps to protect the person. So certainly there's this very high level. Also, it helps with memory. The Gemara narrative in Daf Nadalit. Tana Talmud Acharay L'Rabbi Lezer Shayushona B'Lachash L'Achar Gimel Shanim Shachach Talmudo. That there was a Talmud that was learning quietly and he forgot all of his learning after 3 years. It takes most of us 3 minutes, but it took him 3 years, but still, he forgot all of his learning. The idea is that you're supposed to maintain your learning, and it was attributed by the Gemara to the fact that he was learning quietly. It also creates a certain atmosphere. You walk into a Beis Medrash, it's not supposed to feel like a library. You walk into a library, it doesn't inspire one to want to study. It's just, it's like a little scary. You don't want to drop something in it. You know, you walk into a Beis Medrash, it's a kol Torah. It inspires you to want to become part of what's going on there. What if it disturbs other people? What if you're learning so loud that it's going to disrupt other people? So there's an interesting case Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein had in one of his tshuvas about a guy who learned like oddly loud, like not like a normal, you know, kol Torah, but was like obscenely loud. And they told him, you know, maybe be normal. And he said, I can't. I fall asleep when I act normally. So and Taki, he tried it and he kept falling asleep. So they didn't know what to do. So some of the people in the Beisnei, he was learning in the Kaidel, some of the people in the Kaidel said, we find it very inspiring. Other people in the Kaidel said, we find it very annoying and we're not able to learn at all. So Rav Zilberstein connected this to the halacha they have in Shulchan Aruch about tefillah. That tefillah, you're not supposed to do out loud, but if you're not able to have kavana, you're magbia kolo. But hani mili leveno levenatzmo. But betzibur asi lemitra tzibura. You're not allowed to be matriach the tzibur. And Mishabur writes even to be mashmiya kolo b'miktsas. Biralacha says if you're not able to have kavana b'lachash, go somewhere else to daven. Go to your house and daven there because you're not allowed to disrupt other people. So that's what Zilberstein thought, that this guy should go somewhere else to learn in this extremely loud way. Okay, what about reading from a sefer without learning out loud? What about that middle ground? You know, we discussed hirhur, we discussed dibur, right? So learning out loud. What about just reading from a sefer? The Gemara in Erevin, as we pointed out, in Daf Nadal discusses the importance of learning verbally and not just reading with your eyes, and that helps you retain your Torah. And that's Paskin by the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Per Gimel Alachi Beis and by the Shulchan Aruch in Yardeya Simin Reish Mem Vav Si'if Chaf Beis. The Chidah in Pesach Einayim on Erev and Daf Nundalit over there writes that that's why the Pasuk says Hakol Kol Yaakov, the first Kol is Kuf Lamed without a Vav, the second one is Kuf Vav Lamed. Kol is spelled incomplete one time to indicate that when we daven, I mean there are two ways that the Kol is Kol Yaakov. There's Kol Yaakov through Tefillah and Kol Yaakov through Torah. So when we daven, it shouldn't be such a loud voice. But when we learn, it should be Bekol. It should be with a loud voice. So much so, Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskins, and granted, this is not the widely accepted opinion, but in Parak Beis Halacha Yud Beis of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, rewrote Hilchos Talmud Torah. He didn't like the way that Hilchos Talmud Torah was organized by the Rambam or by the earlier Sefer. He rewrote Hilchos Talmud Torah in his own Seder, and it became a pretty famous section of Shulchan Aruch Rav. He writes, "V'kol Adam tzarich lizor lahotzi b'svasav v'lashmiya la'aznav kol mashalomed ben b'mikra mishnah talmud. Whatever you learn, you have to do it audibly." Eli im kain b'shas iyun lahavin davar mitoch davar. Unless you sometimes you have to think, you have to pause to think. That's okay. V'kol mashalomed b'hiru levad v'efshal lahotzi b'svasav v'ino motzi. Unbelievable. He says, if you're learning quietly, you are not being mekayim the mitzvah of learning Torah. If you have the ability to speak and you're choosing not to speak, you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which would mean that in the view of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's stricter than Kriya Shema and every other mitzvah of Dibur. All other mitzvahs of Dibur, the halacha is that even though you're supposed to be motzi b'svasav, but if you're not Mashmi Elazno, you're still Yotzei. Yet by Talmud Torah, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if you're not saying it audibly, you're not even Yotzei. But again, that's not the Pashtus. What about singing Divrei Torah? So there seems to be a stira as far as doing things in a sing-song. The Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Beis tells us, Kol HaKorei B'lo Ni'ima, V'shona B'lo Zimra, if you do it without singing, Alav HaKasavom Regamini Nesati Lam Chukim Lo Tovim. It's as if they don't appreciate the Torah that they have. Tosfos explains, because they used to learn everything by heart. So it was very important to sing because it helps, it aids with memory, right? You remember the words of a song, when you put it to a tune, it helps with memory. On the other side of it, though, the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Hey tells us, Darish Rava, Neiman Nenash David, Neishakar Ledivrei Torah Zemiros. David was punished because he referred to Divrei Torah as Zemiros, which would seem to imply that singing Divrei Torah is not so correct. So Menashe Klein has a tshuva in Mishnah Alachos in Chelek Vav Siman Kuf Zayin, where he gives, I think, what's the obvious answer, is that if it helps you in learning and it's more your concentration, then it's recommended. And if it's going to help you remember, of course it's recommended. But if you're singing just because you enjoy it as a song, but you're not actually enjoying it as Talmud Torah, you're not using it for Talmud Torah, it's not helping you in learning, it's not helping inspire your greater learning, greater knowledge of Torah, then it's wrong. Torah shouldn't be used as some sort of some sort of way to just enjoy yourself. That's to enjoy yourself from the melody. It's supposed to be the content of the Torah is supposed to be what brings us joy. In the Tshuvas Kol Mevaser Chelek Beis Siman Chaf Ches, he quotes seven different Ma'amari Chazal about Torah audibly and singing and not singing, and the conflicts all over the place. And he essentially says, he has a lot to say, but he essentially says that when learning Torah Shebichsav, there is a tune, but it's a set tune, and that is the Ta'amei HaMikra. You're supposed to use the trup and only the trup. No other tune for Torah Shebichsav. That's the only tune that's permissible. And he can, but Torah Shebal Peh, he says you're supposed to come up with whatever tune you can to learn Torah Shebal Peh. And he explains, based on that Tosfos and Maseches Megillah, what did Tosfos say? Why would they use tunes for Torah Shebal Peh? Because they knew it, they had to do it by heart. So in order to help them remember and be able to do it by heart, they would use a tune. So he said, don't do that with Torah Shebichsav. Why can't you do that with Torah Shebichsav? It's asr to memorize Torah Shebichsav. It's not asr to memorize Torah Shebichsav. It's asr to say Torah Shebichsav by heart. But that's what the Tshuvas Kol Mevaser says, that they dafka stayed away from that. And in addition to that, the trup has great, great value in terms of just understanding the Chumash. Very often, the trup will indicate to us what the pshat is. It properly punctuates the Chumash. Very often, a tune ruins the punctuation. Right, there are many, many tunes. Yeah, you ever hear anyone sing Lichadodi grammatically correctly? If you do, it's really annoying when people sing it grammatically correctly. But, I mean, you understand where they're coming from, because, like, the way most of us sing it, it's, like, totally off. But when people sing it grammatically, it just sounds so weird to sing a grammatic, but like that's what tunes tend to do. They tend to destroy the grammar of it. So when it comes to Tanakh, that's why we stick with truck, and we don't just attach different tunes to it. So this is some of the ideas relating to Torah: the Hirhur, the Kriya, the Dibur, and the Zemir. Okay.